Good afternoon. This is the second session of the BITS 2018 program. We're going to hear all things navigation, I guess. Our first speaker is here, and he is from APH, and will be telling us about their navigation products. So without further delay, I'll just turn the meeting over to him.
I'm here to talk about something that we've been at APH involved in for a number of years. Some of you may be familiar with the app for iOS and Android called Nearby Explorer. We began working on that in 2011, first for Android, and then later for iOS. And Nearby Explorer is a GPS app, essentially. And it uses points of interest to allow a blind traveler to look around to find out what's around them, how far away it is, what direction. And it's been pretty popular. If you open up the Nearby Explorer app, and there is a free version, by the way, on both the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store called Nearby Explorer Online, and you can go there now and download that and play with it, you'll be shown a screen that has a long list of different items that you can turn on and off. Things like the name of the city, the state, the neighborhood, points of interest that are nearby. You can have it watch a particular point of interest. It will, if you get the onboard maps, which requires that you get the paid version right now, give you turn-by-turn directions to various destinations. And it does all those things, which are things that you'd expect from a GPS app. A couple of years ago, we began looking at taking that technology and migrating it so that it would work both indoors and outdoors. And because this is BITS, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the fact that there are a lot of places where GPS signals don't give you good location information indoors. The other problem with indoors besides location is you need maps. You have to identify where those features are that you need to locate. And there's a number of projects that you're probably familiar with that are doing this in different ways. There's one here called Low Vis Guide. They've done a pretty nice job. They're using beacons, which we use in a lot of our indoor environments as well. There's Right Here, Blind Square. I won't try to list them all. Usually when I do a presentation like this, I have a slide that lists them all. But there's a number of them. It seems like there's more all the time. What APH is really interested in doing, besides developing Nearby Explorer and developing the Indoor Explorer features of Nearby Explorer, is trying to work together with the different projects to bring together some sort of cohesion, some sort of cooperation, because we really feel like it's a monumental effort to both map the indoor world and also to provide good location information indoors. And we believe that those two features are things that are going to be useful and beneficial to everyone. And it's a shame that right now I'm here and I can use one app to get around here in the hotel, but if I happen to be going back to Louisville, to the Louisville Airport, I can't use that app. I have to use Nearby Explorer because that's what it's set up for. And if I go to Chicago, I think it's Right Here has a venue at the Chicago airport. So, and Google and Apple are also mapping a lot of airports and places of interest. So we believe it's going to be really important for the future for us to work together and come up with some sort of a way to share both the indoor map data and the indoor location information, just like we do with satellites now. What we use is called OpenStreetMap, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. If you go to our website, I'll give you that. It's at aph.org/nearby-explorer, and then there's a link there that goes to indoor-explorer, and another link that goes to equipped sites.
Oh, shut your phone off.
Link on there that'll actually take you to an OpenStreetMap tool. And if you go to OpenLevelUp, view the indoor environments that we've mapped there. There are some others that have been mapped that we didn't have anything to do with, but not very many in the United States. There's only a few. So our goal then is to help develop tools so that really anybody can take this material and map an indoor environment. The tools are not really accessible for blind computer users yet. We're working on some ways, though, where anybody can contribute to it by marking points of interest for indoor environments. And also, because OpenStreetMap is free and open, we're interested in also working on adding better coverage for OpenStreetMap outdoors. And we really want to work hard on a crowdsourcing effort to try and get that done. So be looking for some tools, some training material, and some other things from the American Printing House with regard to helping crowdsource OpenStreetMap data. I'm going to bring up in a nearby Explorer here, and I've got a little speaker, so hopefully this will work all right, so that everybody can kind of hear what I'm doing.
Saturday, 1:33 p.m. One notification.
All right.
Page 206. Settings. Nearby Explorer Online.
And here's the Nearby Explorer Online.
Nearby Explorer Online.
440 feet at 10 o'clock. Missouri. Near St. Louis Union Station.
Country. State Missouri. Switch button on. Action. County. Switch button.
And we are
City St. Louis.
Indoors.
Neighborhood, switch button off. Nearby Explorer Online, heading, pause. GeoBean on, but compass on, button. Radius down, button. Radius up, button. Level, button. Radius up, button. Level, button. Show all, button. Level, button. No level. Picker item, adjusted. Select level. Select level. Cap S. No level. Picker item, at zero.
All right, I want to pick level zero.
No level. Cancel, button. Okay, button.
Near main entrance.
Nearby Explorer Online, heading.
So, there's several ways that it's possible to use this, and it works the same whether you're indoors or outdoors. If I want to just scan around the room, I can turn my phone so that the screen is facing to the left, and I've got the power button and so forth facing away from me, so the phone is on its side, and I'm holding it as if I was shaking hands.
Prefunction corridor 90 feet east.
And I can move it around.
Prefunction corridor 80 feet, main entrance 100 feet north. Entrance suite 2 150 feet west. Access to hotel 160 feet west.
I think I have a very small radius.
Prefunction corridor 80 feet east.
But it is pointing and identifying items that are close by.
Prefunction corridor 90 feet
east. If I want to watch a particular point of interest, I can do a search.
Favorite map, tab, 2, home, tab, 1 of 4. Loading.
Near prefunction corridor.
I have totally silenced my phone by accident.
Messages.
I'll use this way.
Calendar, photos.
All right.
Maps Leader. Nearby Explore Online. Active. Nearby Explore Online. Pause. Okay. Selected. Map. Home. Trans. Favorites. Search. Legal. Search. Button.
So there's
search.
My search.
Nearby Explore Online. Set radius. Button. Level down. Button. Level up. Search field. Prefunction corridor 50 feet east.
Main entrance 100 feet northwest. Entrance suite 4 160 feet. Entrance suite 3 180 feet. Entrance suite 2 200 feet. Google Places button. Google Places button. Entrance suite 2 Entrance suite 3 Entrance suite 4 160 feet west. Main entrance 100 feet northwest. Options available.
I think I want to go to the next level and search.
Radius up button. Radius down. Radius set radius button. Level down button. Level up button. Level up. Exit to Grand Hall Market. Entrance to restaurants 41. Exit to Grand Hall Market 14.
Okay, that's the Grand Hall Market. So that's the gift shop upstairs. So I want to set that as my watch point.
Show menu.
I go up. I swipe up. Show menu.
Save to favorites. Set as watch.
Set that as my watch point.
Pear Tree in St. Louis. Pear Tree in St. Louis. Downtown West. Hard Rock Enterprise Union. S20th Street. North. Nearby Explore. Pause. Nearby Explore Online. Headed. Nearby Explore Online. Pear Tree in St. Louis, Downtown West, Hard Rock, Enterprise, Union, Civics, Red Light, Locust Street, and 19th Street, North South. Pear Tree in St. Louis near Union Station. And 20th, in 21st Street, East West. Pause to follow. Now on 21st Street, East West.
Grand Hall Market, 50 feet east.
I think it's 50 feet east, but it's actually on the level above us. Now, we do not have beacons set up here in the hotel. So what I'm really using here is the Wi-Fi and GPS signals that I can get. It is much more accurate if you do have Bluetooth beacons that you can use to help get a more accurate location indoors.
Exit to Grand Hall Market 20 feet east.
Can you all hear that talking through the microphone?
Yeah, we can hear it.
That's okay.
My location, meeting of the waters, Market Street, St. Louis.
I have to know where it is to hold it closer. There it is.
My location, meeting of the waters, Market Street, St. Louis. 21st Street, East West.
I don't know where it's.
Messages, two unread messages. App switcher. Nearby Explore Online, active.
I have something going on there.
Nearby Explore Online. Pear Tree in St. Louis, near Union's Downtown West. Hard Rock Cafe. Enterprise Center.
I feel like I'm still in.
Home, tab, 104.
Oh. Here we go.
State, Missouri, County, City, Neighborhood, Zip Host, Heading. Street number 18, street name Market, nearby main entrance, nearby position 100 feet north, nearby main entrance, switch, nearby watch exit to Grand Hall Market 50 feet east, switch button on, actions available.
And so there, it'll keep monitoring that. So that's if I wanted to find something in particular here in the hotel. It would tell me if I was getting closer and generally
what direction to go.
Watch exit to Grand Hall Market 39 feet northeast, switch button on.
All of the things on the screen can be hidden or turned off.
Exit to Grand Hall Market. Exit to Grand Hall Market 27 feet east.
Is for particularly for young users to hide certain things temporarily so that it's not so complicated. There's a lot of things on the screen. There's probably about 15 items when it comes up, and. So you can make it simpler if you want to, so that you're not having to wade through quite as much information. It's been very much a learning experience for us. If you go to the website and look at our list of places, we have about 12 or 13 venues in Louisville, including things like the Louisville Slugger Museum, the Fraser History Museum, the Muhammad Ali Center, the Kentucky Center for the Arts, the Hyatt Hotel downtown, the Louisville Airport, the American Printing House, and several other visually impaired preschoolers services, one branch of the public library there in Louisville, and also the 21C Hotel and Museum there in downtown Louisville. We're working on things like the Yum Center, which is the big basketball arena downtown, and the baseball stadium. So we've got a lot of plans, and we're learning. We're learning things about the best way to use the beacons, the best way to deploy them, how to provide better information, more detail, but not too much detail. And it really is, at this point, a tool for exploring both outdoor and indoor environments. It works seamlessly, so that if you're outdoors and you walk into a building that has indoor support, that has beacons, it'll immediately, well, within a few seconds, switch you to indoor mode and tell you what level you're on and allow you to immediately begin exploring the indoor environment. And then, of course, if you leave, it'll switch back
to exit to Grand Hall Market 45 feet northeast. Exit to Grand Hall Market 44 feet east.
I want to stop here and kind of get a feel
exit
for
to Grand Hall Market 21 feet east.
because there's a lot of things we could talk about.
Exit to Grand Hall, Market 25.
And I'm going to turn that down so that it doesn't interrupt us all the time. Go ahead. Oh, you're moving the mic. Okay. Well, it'll work in really any city outdoors. Indoors, it will work if there's a map and you've got good enough location information. Most of the sites that we've used Bluetooth beacons for are in Louisville. So we're talking about the Louisville Airport and some of the places that we've mentioned. We've temporarily set up in a few places, such as ATIA in Orlando. And we're hoping to do more of that. Obviously, we would prefer to set this up permanently. The nice thing is that once we map and deploy beacons in a site, it's immediately available to anyone else who wants to use it. So no one's required to use Nearby Explorer in order to make use of the maps and the beacons. And they're out there, they're published. So, and we really want to encourage that as much as we can, because APH cannot map the whole world. We cannot set up beacons in the whole world. And we really would like to have a lot of community and business participation in getting that piece of it done. So mostly in Louisville at the moment.
With Nearby Explorer, is there a place where you can say you're outside and you put down an address and it'll tell you how far you are, how to get there with that address?
Yeah, it'll do address searches. Yes.
Well, give you walking directions and how to get there.
Right now, in order to get walking directions, turn-by-turn directions, you have to use the paid version because it has the onboard routing and onboard maps. You don't have to have an internet connection. So you would need that to get turn-by-turn directions from Indoor Explorer, or Nearby Explorer, I should say. I'm sorry. We're actually working on alternatives. We're hoping at some point to get routing working with OpenStreetMap. And there's a few engines that do that. We're not planning to write that ourselves from scratch, but we're hoping to incorporate that in. Another option we're working with is also being able to launch your regular onboard app to get walking or driving directions or transit directions. We're hoping, you know, we actually already do have a feature in there where you can, if our transit feeds are not there, you can launch Move It. I don't know if you're familiar with that app, in order to get transit routing information.
Yes, question, and this is addressed.
I'm sorry. Okay.
With the Outdoor Explorer feature, Nearby Explorer, if I have a paid version, so I have onboard maps, but I am not using, I don't have a paid web connection and outdoors. What features of Nearby Explorer would be available and whatnot?
With the paid version, is that what you're asking?
Yes, with the paid version.
With the paid version. In fact, the reason you're paying for it is because we have to license those onboard maps. That's really what most of that's all about. You don't need an internet connection at all. It does have to download the maps, and that takes a few minutes, and you want to do that on Wi-Fi because they're fairly large. But once that's done, then you don't have to have a connection at all to the internet, and it doesn't use your cell data. It takes your location that it gets from the GPS satellites and uses the onboard map to both give you your location, search for addresses, and also give you turn-by-turn directions. And that right now is just for the U.S. and Canada. We're working on trying to get a source for international maps. But so far, it's the U.S. and Canada, and that comes with it when you purchase it. What it doesn't have, Don't think there's anything it doesn't have that the online version has, to be quite honest. The online version does not have the online maps, I mean the onboard maps. So you do need an internet connection so that you can use Google Maps and Apple for your address provider. And
something's happening here.
Exit to Grand Hall, Market 28 Northeast.
Oh, I think I'm getting a phone call. I'll put it in my pocket. Sorry. So it does require an internet connection because you don't have that all on board. However, the OpenStreetMap maps are on board. Those get downloaded state by state. For instance, when I came to here to the hotel and I brought up Nearby Explorer Online, the first thing it did was download the Missouri OpenStreetMap data. And that took about 10 or 15 seconds. And then once that was done, I started getting information about features here inside the hotel. And that's the way that works. So then once you've got that downloaded, in order to use Indoor Explorer and OpenStreetMap data, you don't need to maintain an internet connection.
Second question, if under those circumstances where I don't have a data connection, do have a version, is there any reason in principle why my Nearby Explorer would not work with hearing aids that are Bluetooth equipped that otherwise work with the portable device?
No, Bluetooth is a totally separate channel, should work fine.
Okay. Now, with this new bigger truck, that has a GPS on it. So do you think
I did
try it out with the bigger truck?
Yeah, the one that has like the, yeah. The what about it now? I can't quite hear the question.
Oh, with the new bigger truck, the GPS, you think we can try it with a Nearby Explorer with
track? Well, that's really a question to be answered between APH and HumanWare. We've talked about it with them, but I don't know that anything's being done immediately with that. It is something we've talked about.
I'm here. Is Peter Tussle for a second? So I get a 2 second thing.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping eventually, if not.
Sorry, friends, it's Peter from HumanWare.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to be talking in a little bit. I'll comment on that because I don't want to take the time of your back score slot. But we do have the capability. But as of right now, it's indoor nav has not been implemented on the Victor Reader track. However, the capability is there because we do have the ability to support Bluetooth meetings. So that'd be collaboration between us.
So it's really up to HumanWare to decide, first of all, do they want to add that support? And secondly, do they want to use Nearby Explorer? Because, I mean, really, they could go some other way. But, yeah, it'd be great. Great.
Any other questions? Sure.
I'm trying to hear.
How much is the... So I can use
the internet. Oh, the paid version? $79?
Yeah.
You know, for this group, I might point this out too. This is not really something we're talking a lot about, but since you guys are technology oriented anyway, some of you may know this, but Google and Foursquare have both decided that they're sitting on a gold mine, and they've decided they want to start taking advantage of that. So in the next few months, in fact, I think right immediately almost Foursquare is, and in the next few months, Google plans to begin charging apps that use their Google Places API, and of course Foursquare has their own Places API. And that has really added a real steep curveball to applications like Nearby Explorer because we make very heavy use of Google Places. As you point the phone around and it announces all these points of interest, Every one of those is a call to Google Places to get the location of a nearby POI, reverse geocode. And so we are working in several different ways to try and keep that kind of functionality in there. One is to talk to Google, and we're doing that. We are attempting to talk to Foursquare. And we're also looking at things like trying to bring more data into the public sector through things like OpenStreetMap. And that's one reason we're interested in all the tools and techniques that basically anybody on the street could use to add more points of interest, both indoor and outdoor points of interest, to OpenStreetMap. So that's going on right now. And we don't know what the end of that story is going to be. But we're hoping that there will be a way to keep that feature and that functionality in nearby Explorer, as well as other apps that, that need to use it. Because it's really important to us in particular.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's it. I see no more questions.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's 2 o'clock, so I'll kind of hang around up here in case somebody wants to come up and talk. If not, I hope you all have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's interesting. I just wish somehow that they could standardize all the APIs and find a good solution for all of us. We're going to hear about Humanware, and I'm sure that we're going to hear all things Victor Trek.
All right, friends. So first of all, for those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Peter Tusick. I am the brand ambassador of Blindness Products for Humanware. We are doing a little flip-flop, so I'm going to entertain everyone for a little while, and I will absolutely leave some time for questions. And then we'll flip with Ira, and Ira will inform you just as much as I will, after I will, instead of before. So it's all good. So my name is Peter Tusick. I'm here from Chicago. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're doing with our Victor Reader Trek. We launched the Trek last summer. We started shipping in November. And our pre-orders were out of control. And we were very, very pleased with kind of the reception to the product. We've had some updates, which I'll be touching on in the next couple minutes. But the whole point of the product was to simplify and bring our existing Stream product forward, whilst at the same time kind of including more features. So bringing in that GPS, you know, pedestrian GPS that's all spoken and verbalized was really the goal of the product. We've been in the GPS business for a long time. I'm sure somebody in here maybe used the Trekker Maestro back many, many moons ago. And then we obviously wanted to do our own product. The Maestro was kind of an overlay with a Palm Pilot and all sorts of moving parts. And it worked every now and then, I think. But it was a foray into that field, and we really wanted to keep moving forward with the GPS product. Obviously today, there are lots of standalone, you know, devices have gone away. We are one of the last ones to have a standalone, and I use iPhone apps. I use Nearby Explorer. I use BlindSquare. I use tools in my toolbox. However, there are some unique pieces of the Trek that will set it apart in certain ways. When we launched it, we're using TomTom maps. The entire device, you know, we have all of the maps for the continent that you're purchasing. So all of the North American maps come on the device. We are able to therefore go from New York to LA without having to switch maps. If anyone who had used a Trekker Breeze or a Breeze Plus, you know that in the past we've had to download multiple maps, could have four at a time. As soon as I got into somewhere else, I'd have to switch SD cards or use my map manager to download more. We've eliminated that piece first and foremost. So we are coming to you with all of the maps on the device. We also added Bluetooth support so that you could use the device with your Aftershock headphones and in terms of navigation. Obviously, with any Bluetooth speakers, if you have a wearable Bluetooth speaker or any Bluetooth headset, which really we don't encourage anyone in here to walk around with a Bluetooth headset on, that would not be Aftershocks. But really the point of that was to bring that forward as well for reading books and all of that, because we have all of the same functions of the Victor Reader Stream on the device. Where we really saw the difference, though, is the ability for a user, you know, when to drop landmarks down into specific locations. So when I'm in an urban area and I enter that big, huge park, or when I'm hiking and I'm on a trail and I want to landmark a specific spot, or maybe I'm just in a parking lot and I want to tell my buddies where they park the car, right, at a baseball game. Whatever it is, we can drop those landmarks down that will help us in navigating through, you know, different areas of our travel. So whether it's my house or whether it's something in an open area, and that's a big difference. The track is able to work inside those college campuses and major open areas, where other devices will try to put you onto a street. So we're really trying to, that's one major difference. And the other is the ability for a user to get detailed descriptions of intersections that they're coming up to. So as a user walks around, he or she isn't just getting, you know, that you're approaching Main Street, but you're getting, you know, the type of intersection, four-way stop, Main Street crossing, Brimson Street on your right, and, you know, something else on your left. Maybe the street changes names. But you're getting all of that information as you approach an intersection, in addition to your points of interest. So we're using, you know, more detailed description. You can change that level of verbosity by all means. If you want to, you can always turn it off, or, you know, lower that to say, I just want to hear street names. I don't need to hear the detailed intersection description, and so on. So that's one major piece, you know. And what we've seen with the product is the accuracy and acquisition time has greatly improved. When we turn the device on, we're going to get satellite signal within 15 seconds. If we continue to turn the device on regularly, that time will always be very consistent. We cache the data from each turn on. So every 3 days, you know, if you turn it on every 2 to 3 days, you're always going to get that high precision time in terms of acquiring satellites. And that's been a major step forward. Previously, it took some time to get those, you know, to acquire that satellite. And that's something that we wanted to lessen with this product. Obviously, it was brought up in the last piece, right? We have Bluetooth support. And that lends itself to, as we move forward, how can we work with something like, you know, nearby Explorer or anything. It's a very fragmented space right now in terms of indoor navigation, which is the final frontier. And Ira's going to talk a lot about indoor navigation and how much it can help you as well. But what we're looking to do is we do have the ability to work with the Bluetooth beacons. What we need to determine is what is going to be the best route. And that's something that's way above my head. I'm not that cool. I'm not a developer. I'm just a trainer. And I do a lot with I work with the development team, but I'm not an actual coder or programmer. But I, you know, in any feedback that we receive as we receive it, I'm able to channel that up through to the development team. So we've seen a lot with the Trek from its launch. And with the newest update, there are a couple of things. And the first being, we're able to search for places by name in the map. So if I want to go to Best Buy or Union Station Hotel, you know, whatever it's going to be, I can either enter the address or I can search, you know, by category for points of interest that may be around my location, or I can enter the name of a place. So again, it's small, but it makes a big difference in terms of I know what I want. And not only can I find that place, but then I can get specific either pedestrian guidance, again, meaning, you know, what is that route going to look like in terms of my intersections and types. I can also get driving directions. I'm totally blind, so I'm not doing the driving yet. I always tell everybody, right? It's a matter of time. You never know. Those self-driving cars, who knows where they are, but they're coming at some point. But it's to give us, when we get driving directions, it's going to be, instead of saying in 200 feet, go straight, it's going to say continue on this street for 4 miles or take exit 26B, you know, and you can pass those directions along to whomever's driving. So we can get the walking and driving directions. We can also preview the route indoors, and that's a major piece. For anyone who, if you come on Monday night, I'll be doing a stream trek session for about an hour 15. If you come in, I have an audio recording of myself doing some of this that I'll demonstrate. Before I even walk that route, I can see exactly what it is I need to do. Where do I need to turn? How far do I need to walk? What types of intersections am I going to come across? And then as I'm walking, if I choose to do so, maybe there is some crazy root sub sticking out of the sidewalk, or maybe there is that, you know, crazy something I need to landmark. I can do that as I go. And then that will be a breadcrumb that will always be saved. And I'm voice, you know, giving that landmark a voice tag. So we've brought in the ability to name those, you know, search by name. What we're also looking at is we will be launching the FM radio portion of the product coming up later on this year. It's already in the works. That has gotten the go. The big ones, though, is, you know, as we move forward, the Victor Reader Track and many other devices, but this, the Galileo satellites are coming to North America. Has anybody here heard of those? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I say Galileo? Yep. Yes, I love it. So it's a new, if anybody has ever traveled outside the United States, I've seen this in Europe, your level of accuracy right now in the States with something like a trek is going to be about 15, 20, 25 feet. And that means circumference. So, you know, I might be hearing that landmark and it could be anywhere in a 20-foot circle around me. And I, you know, obviously going to use my mobility skills to zero in on it. When the Galileo system comes into effect, and I believe it's sometime in the early part of 2019, that's my understanding. It's been approved. It's just a matter of getting it all launched and the satellites in play. The goal is to bring that accuracy down to 1 foot. And that's a big deal for those of us who are blind. And so I always joke, and I believe it's true, I want to be able to landmark that park bench, and I want to go. And obviously my cane skills are good, so my cane will find it. But if my cane doesn't, my shins will, right? Every single time. That is the goal of Galileo. I can truly landmark the fire hydrant. I can truly landmark, you know, the specific sidewalk or the very specific point at which I need to make a 45-degree turn to go to that part of the college campus that's at a weird angle, because everybody knows how easy quads are to navigate, right? So it's really going to help us tremendously in terms of accuracy. Obviously, it helps us find our addresses, but it really will help in terms of landmarking and being very specific. So that's a big piece of kind of how we look to, you know, at what's coming in terms of moving forward. The Galileo satellites, the FM radio, and we're always looking at bringing the device forward. I talk about virtual exploration, which I think is very important. Being able to drop myself at this hotel and then being able to walk around the block or walk down the street or walk to Chicago if I want to by virtually doing it, exploring my surroundings before I get to that location. So that's something we're absolutely looking into, which I think would be very valuable on the product. And again, your user feedback is always, it's very important to us. And we wouldn't have this product if it wasn't for user feedback. The Victor Reader Stream has been our most popular product outside of kind of the Braille Note line of products. The Victor Reader Stream, we have over 100,000 users worldwide. And we love that. And that's, we love being here. We love supporting and being a part of these sorts of events because we get feedback and we can help make a better product. So please, and I'll take some time for questions, but I wanted to just touch on kind of what we're doing with the Trek. If you haven't seen it, come by the booth. I'm happy to show it to you and talk about it. I'll also be doing something on Monday night more in depth. But if there's any questions, anything at all, please, I'd love to take those for a few minutes before we pass it on.
Questions. Just a moment. Bring in the mic.
Yeah. Are you planning to, since the Trek is a part of it, is a GPS? You plan to introduce voice recognition in the unit? Because right now, a disadvantage I see is that, for example, like if I wanted to say Union Station Hotel, I would take my iPhone, if I'm in a car with someone, and I would ask Siri to find Union Station Hotel.
Sure.
It finds it, I say directions, and there you go, maps opens up and you start getting directions. So will that eventually be a capability with the Trek? Because I see there's a drawback in the Trek.
You'd
have to actually key that in right now, correct?
So I love the question. So yes, right now you do have to put that in using the numeric keypad, which is much simpler to do than on the previous, you know, Trek or Breeze and Breeze Plus. However, you're absolutely right. As we go forward, we've looked at ways of bringing in some of that AI into the Trek. The part that's very difficult that we're dealing with is, remember, when you tell your phone to find X, Y, and Z, it's using data to do that. We're using the map data from the satellites. We're not using, you know, we don't have cellular service. We don't have that sort of approval from the FCC and things on the Trek. There are ways, however, to make that happen that are kind of emerging. So we're absolutely looking at not only voice recognition, because I would love to see it, and it's on the radar, trust me. But another one would be, what if we could just use a Braille display with the VictReader Trek? Or what if we could, think about a deaf-blind user? Or what if we could use a Bluetooth keyboard or something to type that in? The one issue, though, like I said, is just sending that data. When we're out and about, we don't have a way to easily transmit that data. We can't just send it up to a satellite, if you will, where the map data comes from. But it's a great question, and we're absolutely looking at ways to bring in that sort of AI. Absolutely.
What's your booth?
32, 33, 34, I believe. It's 32, right, Kate? 32 through 34 is our booth. We have specials and all that good stuff.
A question. You said a few minutes ago that entering something like human station on the new track is simpler than on the track of Reed's.
Yes.
Which I am sort of unfortunately acquainted.
Sure.
Can you explain how it is?
Absolutely. So when we used the Trekker Breeze, we would have to hold down keys until it got to the letter we wanted and then let go. The way that the VictReader Trek works is we're using the numeric keypad to enter the information. If anybody in here ever texted in the year 2004, right? You all know how this worked. So it takes after a very short period of time, you do get quite quick at it. But the general explanation is each number, beginning with the number 2, is assigned 3 letters. And there are 2 exceptions. However, very, very basic, 30,000-foot overview. The number 2 is ABC. The number 3 is DEF. The number 4 is GHI, and so on. There are 2 exceptions. But the point is, if I want to enter a letter C, I press the number 2 3 times. I want to type an H, I press the number 4 2 times, and so on. So I will, we're using the numeric keypad to enter that information. We can do our special symbols and, all of those different things, uppercase, lowercase. We are able to do that. It takes a little bit of practice, but it definitely is simpler in terms of being able to, edit that information, being able to clear things out. And for anyone who's ever used the VictReader Stream, it's exactly the same. And that's also what we sought to do with the product. The where am I key when I'm reading a book, which is the number 5, tells me, what page I'm on, how far I am. When I'm in orientation mode, the number 5 is also where am I. The bookmark key when I'm in a book, and I say I want to bookmark this spot. When I'm walking around in orientation mode, that becomes my landmark key. I want to landmark this spot, and so on. So we really tried to map the device to be very familiar to that existing Stream user and also make sense to a Trek a Trekker Breeze user in terms of my right arrow is my next intersection. My go-to key is top left. And there's a lot of those comparisons, but you would get used to it. But it's a great question.
And a follow-up question to that, you also mentioned that it would be desirable, and I think it would, to be able to have Bluetooth keyboard input. How
yes.
Are you using?
That's a very good question. I know it's on our radar. I would think it'd be a matter, really, my number one focus would be for a Braille display to work, and that would lend itself to a Bluetooth keyboard to work. I believe that'd be sometime in the next year. It is not, it's not imminent. That's for sure. It's not imminent. The FM radio is imminent. There are other, stability improvements and map improvements that are imminent, but that side of things, it's coming. But as to when, I don't want to, I'm not here to build false expectations, right? So, and I don't want to do that just for the sake of the time it takes to kind of implement something like that into a device and start in terms of programming and coding.
No problem.
Question on the, since there is was that radio available like on the Victor Stream 2?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, like, wouldn't it be more sense to have another feature instead of FM radio?
It would.
So it's kind of almost like terrestrial radio.
It is. Well, we have to remember who our user base is. I think it's very important. We think about that a lot. FM radio obviously is not something that's going to be a wow factor. We're not pretending that it is. I don't pretend that it is. However, there are many people, and I'm sure there are people in this room, and I am one of them, who listen to the radio a lot. For news, for whether it's NPR or just getting my local news, it's something to be there. It's not about, you know, wowing everyone, like I said. And so it's something we're implementing. Yes, we still have all the streaming and downloading directly from NLS and all that as well. It's just we have the chip and we want to utilize it. Much like we have the Bluetooth chip and we want to utilize it in different ways. So it's just a matter of where things kind of fell and fall on our priority list at this point.
We have a question back here on the temporary microphone.
Do you have a question? Yes. So I have the Victor Stream. I use the notes a lot.
It's great.
The bookmark feature. Mm-hmm. If I have, like, let's say 90 notes.
Yes.
And I set, you know, 5 bookmarks, it is not within the specific notes. Is that going to be updated at any point?
So are you saying while you're recording?
No. So if you go back and you want to set, you know, let's say a bookmark in note number whatever,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but you've set other ones in other ones, it's going to continually, you know.
Oh, like numbering them?
Number them throughout all the notes,
sure,
versus
sure.
within the one note. Yeah.
We are looking to very much improve that the streamlining really of the notes app. I would, you know, like to be able to append notes. You know, we added last year the ability to consolidate those notes. I would think that's something, again, that's on the list as we look at prioritizing. I like what you're saying in terms of just having them be note specific. Is that kind of what you're going for? Where, yeah, you want the good, and it's a great point. So yeah, giving you the ability to make those bookmarks note specific, I would love to see, as well as being able to name your notes. I think that's very important. And so I'm glad you're here. And I hear it all, and I will make sure that goes through the right channels, because it's a matter of implementing, and the notes bookshelf needs an overhaul. And we're aware of that, and we want to make it you know, streamlined and feasible and make it very, very user-friendly. So that's a great point, and that is absolutely something I've thought about, and I will make sure that goes up.
I'm going to go over to this side of the room just for a minute to give some other people an opportunity. Did you have a question?
Sorry, yeah. Okay, hi. Okay. My question is about the Wi-Fi interface with the stream. Normally, like at home, it connects to my router, so no problem. But when I'm somewhere where you have to put in the username and a password,
right,
then it doesn't work. Is there some way you guys can fix it? Because a lot of places that I go to, like where I work, or, you know, schools and things like that, you need to put in a username and a password.
So it's another great question that's come up for many years. And the answer, unfortunately, is no. And I'll tell you why. In order to do that, when I've thought about a solution, but as of right now, the only way we could get the ability, we need to have a web browser on the device. And that takes a very, very large amount of development. If we were to put a web browser on the device, we could authenticate some of those networks. You could go to Starbucks or McDonald's, right? I know exactly what you're saying, because I have the same issue. What I've thought of, if you think about your Echo devices, is they can't do it, but you have an app that can do it. So maybe there would be a way for us to build some sort of application that could control that. However, the reality of that being anytime soon is it's not in the cards. Many of those simple devices, like Sonos or, you know, many devices, are unable to connect to networks that require authentication. And it's because there's no web browser in the device. We've looked at ways of creating them, but every single, you know, Wi-Fi network that you're connecting to requires a different type of authentication. Some are username and password. Some want you to agree to terms. Some want you to, you know, obtain some sort of code. So we really would have a lot of development in trying to either build its own web browser that obviously would have to do more than just authenticating a website. And really getting that to work. So what I recommend, if you're able to, is using a hotspot when you're outside of your home, or a Wi-Fi that is not just an SSID and a password. So when you get out into somewhere, I often will use my phone. And I understand that not everybody has mobile hotspots. I very much understand that. But it is one solution that will work anywhere.
Question? Yes.
Thanks. Okay. I guess I'll raise this on behalf of a friend who broadcasts on internet radio. This individual was saying that he, I guess, is a lot more concerned about how much of his member space is taken up. So the last time it was a big, huge Envoy map update.
Yes.
I think it was about 2 weeks ago or something like that. And he decided he didn't necessarily want Alberta,
sure,
Saskatchewan, et cetera.
Sure.
Now, of course, every time he boots up his victory track, it says, you know, you still have maps to download. Is there any way we can selectively download and then sort of tell our victory leader tracks that that's all the downloads we want, but you tell me about the ones that I know I don't want and won't download?
It's a great point. So we did give users the ability to deselect maps, as you're saying. We have actually fixed that because we realized that it's thinking that there's more maps to download. Look for a stability update that will come in terms of, because you're right. Once you deselect, so the point of this was to be able to say, I'm never going to Alberta. I'm never going to Washington State. I'm never going to wherever you may want to deselect. And you can take those maps off of your device to free up your 32 gigs of internal storage. So we are looking at releasing, in our next update, it will fix that issue so that you're not always being notified that there is another update. Yeah, and we realized that too, and it, the feature is great. It does free up space, it's wonderful, and he can always go back and re-add what he or she may want, which is awesome, but we're looking at fixing that. So. No problem. I like them all, but I don't want to step on Ira's time. Are we keep going with questions, or is it good? Or? Sure. Love it. Two more questions.
What's special?
So I was just asked what the show special is. The Victor Reader Trek is $629, so it's $70 off here at ACB. The Victor Reader Stream is $319, so it's $50 off. And those are here at ACB only.
My question has to do with the storage.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to get things to and from the thumb drives directly with the stream. I have to go to a computer to do that. Any possibility that you could connect a thumb drive and move information back and forth?
So are you saying you want, I guess just if you could clarify, you're looking to move what type of information? And because generally a thumb drive you use, for data, are you trying to move files or books?
Yes, books, files, whatever.
And you,
I can move stuff, say an internet recording to the SD card.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to clear off my SD card so that I can move more stuff onto it,
mm-hmm.
Will there be a way to connect a thumb drive to the stream and dump stuff on it?
You can do that so you could use the converter. It's a real long-winded way. If I were you, I would connect it and use your computer to do that. It's much more efficient at managing files in large swaths like that. Only because then you can copy and paste or drag. It shows up on your computer as an external drive. Will make it much, much easier than trying to get it to read a thumb drive. It's just the processor, it would take a long time to navigate that thumb drive. That'd be the issue. Navigating your folders and files. I see your point, but I just don't know what that navigation would look like when you're in that thumb drive, if you will, on your stream. So trying to manage, if it was just a thumb drive with a couple folders, maybe it would be easy to navigate. Say, I want this, I don't want this. But when you really get into it and you have very complicated drives and you really want to use the power of your PC to quickly move those things back and forth, just as an external. Sure.
Last year it was mentioned by someone from your company that you're going to have PDF support. Is that a reality, and would that be extended to the stream when it does finally come to the truck?
So right now, if you want to read a PDF, you can use the Victor Stream Companion to convert that. Without, it could happen. It definitely would not happen with image PDFs. Text PDFs would be a reality. I know it's on the radar, but there's no OCR software in there. So the image PDFs, no. It will come, the text PDFs, you know, the Adobe PDFs and things, that will be coming. Right now, though, you would do it using the companion and converting those. But yeah, over time, we're looking to add support eventually for PDF reading. I don't know when, you guys. I'm not here to tell you it's coming and then be here a year from now saying, oh, yeah, I don't know when it's here. So that's the last thing I want to do. I will not do that. But I will say it is on the radar. I think right now, again, as I said, the priorities are looking at the FM radio, some other pieces. And I want to see virtual exploration and some other things as we start to move forward through the second half of this year and into the first half of next year. I very, very much appreciate everybody's time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for all things, Trek. Now, you know, is our IRA person here?
Yep.
Is Kelly here?
Yes, I am. Okay. Personally, I want a brown nose like single sideband.
Yeah, well, okay. What? You know, when I think about life and I think about the different things that I've seen happen in my day, I think of very few things that I consider game changers. When I think about the PC, that was a game changer because it made information readily available and it was a way of getting it from here to there a lot easier. Get rid of letters. Don't have to mail letters anymore, hardly. Then I think about another game changer. Back in the 70s, there was a little thing that was developed as a need. You know, the need is a mother of invention. Well, the Opticon was developed because the boss's daughter was taking up too much of her mother's time to have things read to her. So a professor going ahead and developed an Opticon that a lot of people used, and I still have one, and I would not give it up for nothing because there are things you can do with it that you can't. And then just last year, a new product or service product came online, was shown to us that just knocked the socks off me because now I can go into a store and do it independently. When they had the free day at days at Amazon, I walked in there and freaked all the people that used to help me through the store out because I was running around the store by myself. And so IRA has really changed things. There's people that now can get out that weren't getting out to stores and are able to shop independently. And this is a great thing. So to tell us about IRA and things that are coming and things that have happened, we have Kelly. Now, I'm probably butchered the last name. Love it, am I right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Because it could have been Love A also, but Love It is right. So I'll turn it over to Kelly and tell her more about IRA.
Terrific. Thank you for the wonderful intro. And we are so happy to be here. We are not only an exhibitor, but we're also the double platinum sponsor. So thank you, everyone here from the ECB, for the invite and for allowing us to speak in front of all of you lovely folks. So before we start, I have Mike Hinkson up here with me. He's our director. My name is Kelly Lovett. I'm the director of West Coast Partnerships. I wanted to know a quick, you know, say, hey, if you know IRA, heard of IRA, anyone here? Woo, yay! Okay, we got some fans in the crowd.
How many if not?
That's okay, we got a few. That's great, that's awesome. We welcome all of you, thank you. So IRA is a technology company. We're a system tech company based out of San Diego. We've been around for 3 years, on the market for two. We have a pair of smart glass in service for the blind and low vision. So from the double tap on a phone, you're actually connected to a live agent on the other end who assists you with everyday tasks. So it's similar to having a virtual on-demand assistant on your time. When you call into an agent, I always describe it, it's like calling into NASA. The agent has three large computer screens in front of them. The screen to the left is actually Google Maps. So from the glass, there's a GPS tracking system. So the agent can see on a map where you are, your cross streets, what's around you, And if it's a navigation session, which direction you're going in. The screen in front of them is a live HD stream coming from the camera. It's a teeny little camera hidden in between the nose of the lens of the glass. The camera to their right, the screen to their right is a profile. So when our users call in, who we call explorers, which is kind of fun, when an explorer calls in, it'll say, this is Joe Smith, and he's a cane user. He prefers his directional left, right, center, or clockwise level of description. They can store photos, emergency contact, you name it, we have it in that profile. So each and every call that comes in, that session is tailored to you as the explorer. So I could go on and on about all the amazing things we've done, but to give you a little taste, we're gonna do a demonstration. While Mike gets set up, he's gonna give you a little bit of his background, why he joined Aira, and how we've gotten into some of our partnerships here at ACB. You may have met Kim Charleston before, Eric Bridges, Jeff Bishop. Well, they're all supporters and advisors for Aira and users as well. So without further ado, this is Mike Kingston. Woo-hoo.
I still want a brown note that does single sideband, but that's okay. If you're not a ham operator, you wouldn't understand that. Sorry? WB6NHM. There you are. Great. So let me add in and fill in a little bit to what Kelly said and just talk about Aira in general and do it this way. I was approached in 2015 by the co-founders of Aira, who said, we'd really like you to be on our science advisory board because I've been pretty visible in the technology world and reasonably visible as a blind person because in 2001, we kind of happened to be working in the World Trade Center and somebody took a shot at us and missed and got out. And as a result of that, we got pretty visible. And I've actually delivered a keynote address here at the ACB convention, really thrilled to have been able to do. But these two people contacted me and they said, we've got a great product. Well, everybody says that. And so I said to myself, yeah, sure. And the email that they sent said, what we have is this system where you wear a pair of glasses with a camera, you can call an agent, and the agent will give you whatever information you need. And I said, gee, that's great. And then the email said, we want you to be on our science advisory board. And I said in an email back, let's discuss a little bit more about what the product is before I decide I'm going to be on the Aira advisory board. I am not interested in a product that is set up by people who think they have to, and I use the term in quotes, help the blind. That is to say, I don't want to have anything to do with a product that is going to sit there and tell you what to do. If your product is about giving information so that I am more empowered to make decisions about what to do, that's a different story. And the email I got back said, that's exactly what we want. So they came up, we had a demonstration, and I've been on the advisory board and then joined the staff last year. So what does all that mean? When I call Aira, or anyone calls Aira, the agents answer the call, as Kelly said, have the information that she described. The agents are hired and paid by Aira. There are now close to 144 agents around the United States. The job of the agent is to interpret what the camera sees as well as other information that is available to them and to pass that information to the Aira Explorer. That is to say, Aira is an information source, or as we have described it, a visual interpreter. It is a way to see life. It is not a help thing. So no agent will ever, for example, tell you, you can cross the street now. Because Aira's job is not to supplant or diminish your ability to do whatever it is you want to do. Aira's job is to give you more information so that you can do it successfully. So agents may tell you, I see a car coming down the street, which I may not hear because it happens to be a hybrid vehicle or whatever. And as a result of that, the agent is telling me something that I wouldn't know. The agent can tell me there's an open manhole 20 feet in front of you or whatever on the sidewalk, which my cane nor dog is going to find until we get a whole lot closer. Agents give information. 2 weeks ago, now 3 weeks ago almost, I had to make some modifications to my stereo system. The problem is that it's the usual thing with modern stereos and receivers and so on. A lot of menu-driven stuff, But with an agent, I made the modifications, made the connections, and had the system up and running in less than 10 minutes. And I used an agent who didn't know the first thing about electronics. It didn't matter. The agent's job is to describe. It's my job to interpret and know what to do with that information. And that's exactly what we had happen. So IRA is all about providing information that you would not otherwise have access to. That's what we do. So what I want to do is to take that to the next step and tell you what our products look like today, because that's changing.
Don't miss the mic.
Sorry?
Your left hand is on its second microphone, so just
avoid
that.
Yeah. This is a hot mic down here. So. That's hot mic? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we could mess somebody's ears up. Good. That'd be fine.
Yeah, that hurts.
I'm sorry. We'll try harder. No, that's fine. Okay, so IRA has consisted in the past of a pair of glasses, a little device called a MiFi, and your smartphone. All that's changed. Now what we have is simply a device that consists of the glasses and a Verizon controller. And the purpose of the controller is to be the power source for the glasses as well as the communications device between the IRA user and the agents. As I said, the agents are hired by IRA, by the way. They are trained to describe. A lot of people say, oh, well, you're just like those free things like Be My Eyes. The answer is absolutely not. Because the agents are trained to describe, and they can stay with you as long as you have a need to get information, whatever it happens to be. So there are people who have used IRA to read very long documents. There's an agent who uses IRA on a regular basis to read hundreds of pages of documents, and in turn also annotate those documents, because she happens to be a lawyer, and what she needs to do is to make those documents ready for trial. So she works with an agent to do that. Won't go into the whole process for that now, but it's trivial to do. But what IRA does is gives us the data that we need. And today, as I said, it's glasses that connect to an IRA controller device, and with just the push of a button, you can call an agent. What I'm doing right now, in theory, is getting the volume up here, and when we get that
battery 95%, glass attached, connected to IRA via 4G LTE. Hello, Mikkel Hickson. IRA ready for service. Locked, unlocked. Hello, Mikkel Hickson. IRA ready for service.
I know, Mikkel, what can I say?
Glass attached, connected to IRA via 4G LTE.
IRA is.
Hello, Mikkel Hickson. IRA ready for service.
IRA is something that will grow over time in intelligence. We use a virtual assistant named Chloe. She's an artificial intelligence system. And I just double pushed a button, and that's all I have to do now to call an agent. So we're getting an agent.
Connecting to Agent Heather.
We're getting Heather. Okay.
Thank you for calling IRA. Michael, this is Heather. How can I help you today?
Hey, Heather, what's happening in the world and how come? Are you there?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, what's happening in the world and how come? That's okay. Can you hear me, Heather? Heather?
Your audio connection's a little choppy.
All right, how about now?
That's a little better. I was just fixing to refresh it for us.
If you need to, go ahead. Well, we're in a room, and I thought maybe you could describe a little bit about the room. Tell me what you see. Tell me if it looks like the people are awake, whatever you want to tell me.
What? All right, give me one moment. Let me go ahead and refresh this, and then we'll be able to describe that for you.
So sometimes we are,
all right,
since we are.
So,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So in front of you, you're in a conference room. There is about three tables in front of you, white covers. There is some chairs behind each table, and I do see some people that are in the room. And if you give me one moment, I can take a picture of those people if that's okay with you, and we can let you know if they're awake or asleep.
Okay.
Taking picture.
We'll just call them out, right?
You bet.
All right. So I do see why the picture is loading. There is a pole to the left and to the right of those tables with about a foot passing on each side to the middle table of that room. waiting for this wonderful Play-Doh here.
Resuming video. Taking picture. Stay still. Picture taken.
We probably don't have the greatest.
And I heard the announcement taking
picture. I heard it. We probably don't have the best coverage in here. One of the things I was going to say is we are absolutely
on the video.
Yeah, but the picture may show up anyway. We are absolutely on the bleeding edge of technology here. We're doing live streaming, high resolution live streaming, as well as carrying on an audio conversation. So there's a lot happening that ultimately comes up to the experience that you have with an agent. Did it work, Heather?
Like you said, the connection is a little choppy for it to load. It seems like we're having just a little bit of a bad connection.
We won't worry about it. What I'd like to do, though, is to ask you a question. Being very prejudiced about emergency situations and so on, where are the exits to this room?
Wearing a gray shirt.
Where?
And our picture did load, so let's see.
Okay.
So there's the first people is empty. The second table, there is a lady who has on a green shirt with a white sweater. There skips two chairs. There's a gentleman with a yellow shirt with some black suspenders. Then the table behind them, there's a lady with a pink shirt to the far left. Then there's four empty chairs, a gentleman with a gray shirt, a lady with a blue shirt next to him. And then behind them, all the way to the very far back, there is a man with a plaid shirt. Then there skips a couple of chairs, and then I see a gentleman in a white shirt.
Okay.
A lady who has very long hair, and some other people behind them that's kind of hard to see what they have on, but they're all awake. I see them.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Where are exits to this room?
All right, if you would go directly from where you're standing, there is an exit door directly to the back. So that would be directly behind where everyone else is. There is also one to everyone else's far left back, and which would be your right.
Okay. How about on the sidewalls? Any exits there?
Where you're panning right now, I do see a door right there on the left. Let me make my video a little bit bigger. One moment. All right, I do see an exit door right there, straight ahead at your 12 o'clock. There would be right even with that very first table to your far left. There's
okay.
The door. Like.
Great. So, you know, basically, as you can see, she can give us any information. If I want Heather to guide me to a seat, she could tell me where the nearest empty seat is. This microphone is fastened, so I won't walk to a seat, but Heather could tell me that. If I were in an airport, Heather could get me, as someone else did last night, through the airport to the area where I pick up ground transportation. And in fact, Heather could even call an Uber or a Lyft vehicle for me and track the car until it arrived. So basically, any information that I need, whether it's relating to travel, knowing about rooms, or whatever, Heather can do. Tell me something, Heather, that you found extremely interesting that an explorer has asked you to do.
I think one of my favorite tasks that we do as agents is we take our explorer shopping. If they're in the grocery store and they need our help finding an item, we can do that for them. I've even had explorers call in and say, hey, can you help me find a spice in my cabinet? Can you read this letter for me? Can you help me turn my crock pot on high? I don't know which way the button turns. So we do a lot of tasks for our explorers, and we really enjoy doing that.
Have you been on cruises yet?
Not yet. I have not.
Okay. Does anyone want to ask Heather a question as an agent?
We have a question in the back row, a gentleman with two hands up.
Basically,
whoa, hold on. You have to have a mic.
He's going
to
grab a mic just to make it easy.
Sure.
Hello?
having familiarity with the suicide prevention hotlines. Are you like at home, or do you have an office, or how did your Heather's situation, where are you at? And, exactly, but how do you operate out of your home, out of the office?
Did you get that, Heather?
Yes, I did. We do have an office that's located in California, but most of our agents work remotely from home. They are trained very intensely. We do have very many classes that we go to. We go through classes with other explorers where we watch them take live calls before we take live calls ourselves. So that way we're learning the correct way to do things. But a lot of us do work remotely from our own homes, which is very good for us. But we do have an office where we have our main agents that work in California.
So this is not a situation where people are in a call center somewhere. Agents work from where they are, and they work as much or as little as they choose to work. Some people work part-time, some work full-time, and come from a variety of walks and backgrounds.
And Heather, where are you located at?
Yeah, where are you, Heather? Where are you, Heather?
I am in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Ooh.
Have a hurricane for us, Heather.
He means the drink, not a storm.
Yeah, I do mean the drink kind in the glass, yes. Well, Heather, thanks very much. There you go. Thanks very much. We appreciate your time, Heather.
Oh, no problem, Michael. Thank you for calling in. You guys have a wonderful day and a good weekend.
We'll do it. Thank you. And that's the way IRA works. It's literally any information that we need to get. The IRA Explorer is the person in control, not the agent. You can get as much or as little information as you choose to get. It's really up to you as to what you need done and how you need the information conveyed to you. You have control over that. She took pictures. One of the things that we could do with those pictures, if I had instructed her to do it, if it were an interesting picture, I could have said, please save that picture and send it to my IRA app or email it to me, and I could in turn then send it off and put it on Facebook or do whatever I wanted to with it. So suddenly we become really great photographers, I will tell you. One of my favorite IRA stories is a father who wanted to make sure that his daughter was doing her homework. And he called an IRA agent and he said, I'm going to go in. I just want to talk to my daughter and make sure everything's going okay. Let me know what you see. He goes in and he goes, hi, how's everything? And you doing your homework? And she said, yeah, I'm right in the middle of it. And the agent said, she's playing games on her phone. So, busted. But IRA gives us whatever we need to know. So you know what? Let's stop and take questions from all of you. And then we can tell you a little bit about the things that we're offering here at the convention.
I'm late.
They'll be coming.
I am the participant who was described as wearing a yellow shirt with black suspenders. And my suspenders are dark, but not black. I had sort of a question about the color accuracy of the camera this year.
The color is a very high resolution, accurate camera, but with lighting and all that, who knows exactly what she was able to see. That's the problem with visual things as opposed to Braille, where it's really substantive, right? So it's all relative, and somebody else may have called it more black than she. Next.
I'm curious, for the employer, these work rough rehab, do you make any effort to find people who are, let's say, wheelchair bound or otherwise impaired, but to do the job for your employees to be the helpers on the other end?
Sure, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. So I should start off that 33% of our staff is blind or low vision. So we actually have a lot of employees, engineers, customer tech support, sales, public sector directors who are visually impaired themselves. And a lot of them started off as users and contacted us when they saw a job opening. Because who better to be an employee than someone who's used our service and loves our product or wants to continue to help us improve it. So to kind of backtrack to your original question, is yes, absolutely. When we're recruiting for agents, we work with several different groups and organizations. So we work with a lot of wives from military or military spouses who happen to move a lot, and maybe it's challenging to get a new job in a new city, you know, every year or so. So we recruit a lot out of that. We've worked with veterans at large who've also, you know, come back, and, you know, as long as someone's able to be able to visually interpret and they have connection to a computer and high speed internet, and there's, you know, once that's literally the pre-qualifying questions, anyone can go to our website and see that. Then after that, I mean, it's about a month long boot camp that our agents go through before we release them into the wild. And before we do that, we actually pair them up with an explorer, because who better than our own employees to tell us, our own customers to say that this person's ready, you know, to be on the queue. But yeah, if you have certain groups or organizations that you suggest that we recruit from, we are actively hiring agents. We hired 70 agents last week, actually. So
yeah, let me add to that. Absolutely, we're concerned and interested in finding other persons with disabilities, veterans, and so on, who want to join IRA. But I want to make it very clear what happens. So if a person wants to be an agent, they go online, they say they want to be an agent, and they receive a test. It's an hour-long examination that consists of 20 questions asking you to describe maps, describe pictures, read maps, a variety of things. I've had people contact me, IRA explorers, who said, well, my mom or my spouse took the test and didn't pass. And why is that? Because they really are great at describing. When we investigate, unfortunately, what they can't do is read maps well or do other things well that we need. It is an extremely rigorous process. Last year at the beginning of June, we took applications and had 1,000 applications and 20 people were hired. It is not trivial. And just because someone may be pretty good, it's a question of how well they describe. But we're always looking to fill the ranks of agents and other employees from the standpoint of other persons with disabilities and so on. We are very sensitive to that and want to do as much of that as we can. Next.
Other questions?
I just wanted to compliment ever since I lost my sight, no longer can see voters, but with IRA being able to take a picture and titling it and labeling it for me, I can see the pictures again.
And who are you, by the way?
My name is Nee.
Hi.
Thank you, Nee.
Thank you, Nee. Anyone else?
Oh, my name is Janelle Morris. I'm from Columbia, Missouri, and I work for the Veterans Hospital of Columbia. Anyway, my question is, can you go over the cost and that kind of stuff of the program?
Absolutely. Thank you, Janelle. So we are happy to announce that we've actually partnered with the VA. We've been given the green light officially last month. So for blind veterans, the VA will be subsidizing 85% of the cost of subscriptions. So it'd be an annual subscription where the veteran would have to pay $29. And if you or someone you know is currently working with a VIS coordinator, that's who you would contact. Just as a side note, we forgot to. Yeah, okay. And our plans, which we will be announcing tonight, the keynote, our CEO, Suman Kunikakti, will be doing a live demonstration announcing the big plans. So for the first time ever, we're offering a phone-only plan. It's called the Starter Plan. So anyone who's a smartphone user can start with IRA for just $50. So $50 for 50 minutes of IRA. So that includes access to the agents, access to our Explorer community, access to our employment program, and any of the other IRA Live descriptions that we have going on. The next price point that we are offering, and this is the most affordable smart glass package we've ever had, it's $80 a month for anyone who wants to do phone plus class. And we actually are including the phone in the package. So if somebody is not a smartphone user or just doesn't want to add
you know, another app to their phone. I will be providing the Horizon glasses. So it'll be a phone plus, which is a Samsung Galaxy plus the smart glass. So just for $80 a month, and that will get you 50 minutes to access our service.
And again, to make it kind of clear, from a phone standpoint, if you want to use it, the term phone, all you need to be able to do is push a button twice to call an agent and then push it again to stop calling an agent. There are no smartphone apps or dealing with touchscreens or anything. So people who like flip phones and so on will love this plan because there's nothing to do except push a button.
And for anyone who is a smartphone user currently, will everyone raise their hand if they're a smartphone user? Terrific. So what you guys can actually do right now is you can take out your smartphone, you can go to the Aira App Store and use our service for free. So this is the first time we've done it at a convention. So anywhere in this hotel, the Drury Hotel or the Hilton Ballpark, Aira services and access to our agents is free from your own phone. So similar to FaceTiming, you know, a friend or loved one for assistance, you can call into an agent from that app. The other locations where you can use this app for free is the St. Louis Airport. So you don't need to have a subscription at all. And anyone, sighted or not, you can download the app to check out our agents and see how it works. Other locations are the Arch. So if you're going to do any sightseeing, we would also say it would be fun to call into an agent. They'll be fighting over your calls. Believe me, they love this time of year. So that would be, so our lowest price point plan is actually free this week and through July 8th.
So Kelly brings up a really good point. There is this whole program called Aira Access. And both from time to time and place to place, there will be opportunities where Aira will be available to anyone at no charge. So if you don't use Aira, you can sign up as a guest and use it in these locations. For example, there are a number of airports that are full-time Aira Access airports. The latest is Wichita, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Houston, Austin, Memphis, a number of places, Mass Association for the Blind, Perkins School for the Blind, a number of Dallas Lighthouse for the Blind, a number of places have entered into contracts with Aira where anytime you were at that locations and you're an explorer, Aira doesn't cost you anything. But at the same time, if you're not an Aira explorer, you have the ability to sign up as a guest, just like Kelly is talking about this week here at this convention, and you can use Aira at those places at no charge. So that's something that is available. Something else for Aira explorers and guests in site access or Aira access locations, if you are doing anything that involves seeking a job, it could be writing a cover letter for a resume, drafting and preparing and making a resume look good, getting dressed for a job interview, making sure that things match, helping with makeup, whatever the case, getting from a Lyft vehicle or an Uber vehicle into the building and up to the office where the interview is taking place. If you're an explorer, all of that is automatically free. Again, if it happens to be an area where there is Aira access, guests can do the same thing. Otherwise, the best thing is to sign up as an explorer. And the $50 a month for 50 minutes, the starter plan, is the most economical way to do that.
Question.
Yes, questions.
In order to use this service, do you have to be a subscriber to a wireless plan, or can this work on Wi-Fi in one of these three areas?
So technically, several answers to that. No, you don't have to provide any accessibility to data. The Aira system does it. At the same time, where your smartphone, if you're a smartphone user, comes in handy is that today, and this will change down the line, but today you can tweak your profile with your smartphone in terms of what it will do. But primarily you're going to use the Horizon phone, the Horizon controller, with the glasses to do the things that you want to have done. You don't need to pay for any data. You don't need to do anything to make the Horizon glasses or the system available.
Any other questions?
Exactly what do you have on that makes this all work? physically, the stuff on you right now, what is involved in what you have to wear and to work?
A pair of glasses, and then in my pocket is the Horizon controller phone, and that's it. And I can get up for 7 hours of talk time and video streaming because of the battery power that's in the phone. All I have are the glasses and then the phone that connects to them.
And I'm going to walk around, and I have a pair of glasses that's off, but we can, you know, get a make of what they're, what they look like.
If Alamo will stay still and let Kelly buy. So there isn't a lot to this in terms of cumbersome heavy equipment that you got to carry or anything like that. Other questions? While she's coming around. By the way, the camera on these glasses has about 125 degree field of view, so it can see quite a ways to either side, as you saw a little bit with Heather describing earlier. And it can see quite a distance in front. So it's really a very high resolution, far seeing system that we have.
I have a brief question. I'm a little confused now.
Oh, good. Okay.
When I tried this last year, I was using my iPhone. Would it be still even iPhone? Is the iPhone totally out of the loop now when you're using the Horizon controller? Is that the
iPhone? Horizon. So the answer is, if you're going to use the glasses, the Horizon glasses, you do need to use the Horizon controller.
Which means the iPhone's out of the loop.
Which means the iPhone is essentially out of the loop. You don't need to use your iPhone. I find that very helpful because when I want to, for example, use a Lyft vehicle with my iPhone and I'm doing it all with Ira, and Ira is talking to the my system and so on, what I can't do is, well, let's say I'm calling for a Lyft ride. I can't call for the Lyft ride and wait for a car and wait and have a Lyft driver call me to make sure that we link up, because you don't have the ability to actually reach a Lyft driver with an Ira system. So you have to disconnect from Ira, answer the Lyft call or make a Lyft call, and then come back to Ira. With the Horizon system, since you're using the Horizon controller, all I do is I let the agent contact Lyft, and if the Lyft driver calls me or if I feel I need to call the Lyft driver, I can do that on my iPhone.
So the Horizon controller is just in your pocket. It doesn't have a screen. It has just an internet connection.
Well, it has a screen, but we don't use it. So for all intents and purposes, no, it doesn't have a screen.
Oh, okay.
There is a screen, but we don't see it. Right.
Okay. And that's just using Wi-Fi, I guess.
It's using Wi-Fi cell access, or you can configure it to use your home Wi-Fi.
Okay. So is it assigned a number? I mean, it's not operating as a phone.
It is, but you don't see it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, technically it is, because it is accessing cell towers.
Yeah.
Other questions? So if you go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and search for Ira, A-I-R-A, A-I-R-A, manufactured by Ira.io, Ira Tech Corp, you can download the app and you can run it, create a guest account, and use it all day long here at the convention at no charge. So it's really very straightforward and easy to do. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store to do that. And if you need any help doing it, we can help. Come by the booth. We can assist and give you whatever information that you need. Wait for the microphone. They're being very, very helpful by waiting for microphones. Yes.
If you're using it, will there be a difference in when the agencies, like, say, if you have an older iPhone with only an 8 megapixel versus a 12 megapixel camera, is there going to be a significant difference?
That's a good question. I am sure that agents might tell you they see a difference, but by and large, we haven't heard of people ever saying that they don't get good images with any of the iPhones, because we've been using iPhones. Well, I'm using an iPhone 6 Plus. And now with the Horizon phone, we're using the camera on that primarily. Or typically, again, remember, unless you're just using the phone camera, you're using the Ira glasses, which are very high resolution. Right. Then they're still going to be able to see just fine with whatever phone you have. Oh, good. Another question. Great. In the scholarship section in the back. Yes.
Okay. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So if you're using the phone-only app, like your phone-only system, like we would use it here, let's say.
Yep.
So you just point your phone's back-facing camera out so you think the agent can
right.
see or what?
Correct. Okay. And if you get some sort of a lanyard with a, you know, or a chest mount device like for GoPro cameras, or I'm just looking at my name badge now. Actually, the name badge would be horizontal, so my name badge holder won't do it. But you can get anything where you could put your iPhone around your neck and then keep it hands-free, and that also works well. And a lot of people do that. They like the phone, they want to just use the phone, and they just buy something so that it's hands-free with the phone. Nobody else?
We're all set.
Well, Kelly and I would like to thank you very much. Please come by our booth. What is it, Kelly? 44 and 45? 44 and 45. And come see us. Come learn about Ira. We'll help you sign up if you'd like. If you're a current Ira Explorer and answer any questions for you that you need, you can help with that. We'd love to see you come by and
oh, can
or just go sign up on your own as a guest.